This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
And we are here live. Let's get set up. I want to make sure you can all wake up this morning. So that's a very, very bright. Yeah, I didn't realize how bright this shirt was. I said, holy cow, I glow in the dark. It's crazy. Anyway, welcome, welcome, welcome. You're here live with Dr. Jeff. Here for the next 30 minutes from Pet Life Radio's Ask the Vets with Dr. Jeff. Before anyone starts asking and wondering what is going on with my hand. So I... Basically, I don't want to believe my age, actually. So what I do is I still do things that most people my age wouldn't do, like run a basketball game every Tuesday night with kids in their 30s and 40s, basically younger than my kids, which is insane. Anyway, I took a crazy fall. My leg has got tangled with one of the other guys, and I went flying, landed somewhere. I don't know exactly what happened. Because my hand got so swollen, I couldn't even see my knuckles for like 2 weeks. But turns out that, hey, Deb, how you doing? Showtime, how are you? Hello, Cloud Chaser. So anyway, I must have pulled my thumb way back and tore these tendons. It's called the volar plate. So Friday, 2 days ago, I had surgery on my volar plate to repair. I didn't even know exactly what he did. I don't know if he had to put pins in. I don't know. I'm going to see him probably tomorrow just to talk to him. He's a friend of mine. So he's a hand surgeon. And it was funny because when I happened, I showed him a finger and he looked at it. He says, it's arthritis. I said, you know, Robbie, this is not arthritis. Look at this hand. I mean, I showed him the difference. He goes, oh. So he started messing with my thumb. He goes, oh, looks like you tore your volar plate, whatever it is. Anyway, he says, but I'm booked out till the end of the year and I'm retiring December 31st. He's a couple years older than I am. I said, Robbie, you can't retire. I said, who else can I trust? I don't know anybody else. Anyway, P.S., he calls me a week later, had a cancellation, and I had it done on Friday. So I'm in this thing for 10 days. It's a soft gap, but there's a metal plate in here to keep my thumb from moving, which I can't obviously move. And then I go back for the stitches out in 10 days, and then he's going to put a hard cast on for another 2 or 3 weeks. So ask me how happy I am. I'm not that happy. You don't realize how important a thumb is until you don't have one to use. It is insane. I'm trying to do everything with these two fingers. I'm sure he's going to be so mad at me for even doing what I'm doing. But anyway, yes, Dad, I can still work. I'm not supposed to, sir. I told him, do it so at least if I can touch my index finger to my thumb and then I can still hold the thumb forceps, then I can actually do some work. But anyway, so yes, thumbs matter. It's crazy. So I'll be a little slower doing things, but it's just so frustrating. I mean, I'm telling you, every time I try to do something, I go, wait, I can't do it. And right, but I was able to blow chauffeur. That's right, Bethany. Let's see. So anyway, questions. You must have some questions. I don't know if you can see my, I've been seeing some of the cutest animals, and I say 90%. I saw a couple of breeder animals. And again, I'm not against breeders, but I understand. What I'm against are things that are, if it's a backyard breeder, if you're going to be a breeder, you got to do it right. You have to know. You know, and just so you know, I always tell people this, and maybe we've talked about it before, but if you are getting a dog and you're not, you know, you see these ads online about the breeders and the best puppies in the world, et cetera, don't just jump at it. You need to talk to the breeder. First thing the question to ask is first of all, you want a list of people that have already purchased puppies. And most importantly, who's your veterinarian? Just like if I asked any mom out there, who's your pediatrician? Boom, they're going to know it immediately. They have to think about it. They know exactly who they go to. For my clients, and this is a very unfortunate in the veterinary world because it's not that way anymore. But if people ask my clients, who's your vet? Oh, Dr. Teff. I mean, they know right away. Now these corporate practices are almost, they don't want people to bond to a veterinarian. They want them to bond to the practice. So you're seeing a different vet all the time. I can't believe that when people say, oh God, my pets are like my kids. If you don't have a relationship with a veterinarian, then they're not like your kids. Don't kid yourself. Pardon the pun. So anyway, make sure that if they can't tell you who their vet was, and so you can call the veterinarian, how is this person as a breeder, then it's a bad choice. And I'm telling you, now, if I had to pick one breed that I'm seeing such terrible dogs, and it's a breed that is near to my heart, French Bulldogs, I am seeing some of the worst Frenchies coming out with so many problems. because they don't know exactly what they're doing. They're not breeding cautiously. They're not finding out which parent might have a problem they don't want to pass on. I mean, God, ask any breeder, would you breed a dog if it's a monorchid, only one testicle is descended into the scrotum? And the answer is any legitimate breeder would say, oh, no way. But a lot of these places are doing stuff like that. They're breeding poor quality dogs. And that's what gets me. So I've seen, if you do your homework and it's a legitimate breeder and they have great dogs and you can talk to them and double check and check them out, then I'm okay with it. But having said that, working with a number of rescues that I work with, I have to tell you that I am seeing some of the most amazing dogs. I joke that if my bed was any bigger, I would take some of these dogs. I mean, I already have five, so I got to be really careful or else I'm sleeping in the doghouse. But anyway, please, 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 if you are ready for a pet, then I think look at some of these rescues. You can see the dogs, talk to the fosters that are taking care of them. There are so many fantastic dogs out there. And looks don't mean everything. So it's, yeah, if you want that, I mean, I've been a Labrador guy forever. It's my next dog. The only reason I have a purebred Labrador now, after Grover, my dog that went 16 and a half years, is because it was a rehome. He was a purebred dog, well-bred. He's now 14. And he's doing great and he's beautiful. So yes, you can. I was lucky. My Frenchie is a rehome. So my only two of my five dogs that are purebred were both rehomes. Would I get a dog now? I love Labradors. I've had them for over 50 years. I've had Labradors, my favorite dog ever. But would I get another purebred? Probably not. Because I see how many animals, the crime of these animals being put to sleep, not because they're bad dogs. It's just because there are no homes for them. And that to me just gets me. So anyway, and then the LA Pet, that's right. Well, let's talk about Mookie and Freddie, I should say. Mookie is the one that stayed. So Freddie, LA Pet Care. So Lauren has actually adopted one of my patients. There were two dogs. If you know anything about baseball, Mookie and Freddie, yes, they are major LA Dodgers fans. And Freddie, they had to give Freddie up, and guess who took him? LA Pet Care. And he is the greatest dog. Yeah. So that's okay. When you see dogs like that and you know them and they're well cared for, and that's what's right. Now, Suzanne, why am I arm wrapped? You missed it. I had a basketball injury. Don't tell me and give me hell for playing basketball at 70, but I'm going to do it anyway. But I fell in a weird way that hyperextended my thumb, and there's a bunch of tendons and ligaments here that tore, and I had to have them fixed, reattached, and I'm in this thing for, God, 4 weeks. Ask me how happy I am. So anyway, yeah, so there are some really, really good, and by the way, if you run a particular breed, there are many of the more popular breeds, like retrievers, golden retrievers, Labrador retrievers. There are breed-specific rescues. So you can get probably a pure breed or close to it and still get the dog of your choice. So there's no excuse not to. So let me, there was a question here about congestive heart failure. Check out the new Costco affordable pet insurance. Even I haven't come to see. Oh, so that's okay. Here's one from Sharon. It's because you talked about this, can you please check out the new Costco affordable pet insurance? Again, it's not just the affordability, because even though like Nationwide doubled their premiums, it's insane. It's the philosophy. What bothers me, the philosophy is that you have a problem that was a minor problem that of no consequence as a young dog, and they're going to now basically not allow anything related to the skin. For example, it was a papilloma, as the example I gave before, a little puppy papilloma, oral papilloma, very common in puppies. And then 6 years later, the dog gets a growth on the skin that looks like it's maybe a cancer. Oh no, we don't cover that because there was a skin problem when he was a puppy. What? What are you, crazy? Nothing new with each other. They're always looking for excuses not to pay. They're looking for pre-existing. Ah, God, that's pre-existing. So, or that's congenital. Everything can go back to something if you're really looking for a way not to pay out. So that's my issue. And it's just gotten, besides the fact that premiums got out of hand. Pause. Is this environmental or food allergies? Again, great question. And I wish I can give you an easy answer. There is no easy answer. One of the things I will tell you this, if the problem appears to be seasonal, it's probably not food, unless you change foods every season, which is unlikely. So then you're looking at contact, meaning grasses, things that are put on the grasses, allergy, or atopy, atopic, which is the inhaling of the pollens. So if it's seasonal, then there's a better chance it is going to be a non-food related. It's going to be environmental. Now, here's another thing you can do. Again, before you start spending a lot of money on the allergy testing, which is expensive, you have to ask yourself, are you willing to start medicating either sublingually under the tongue daily for the rest of the pet's life, or giving injections, almost like a diabetic has to get insulin shots? If you're not willing to do that, then treat symptomatically. Now, do food elimination diet, that's what I always what I say. But if you treat the allergy as you would an inhaled allergy, like cytopoint or steroid or cyclosporin, any of the old-fashioned, like the two preds in cyclosporin, immunosuppressor that suppress the immune system so it doesn't react, or cytopoint, which blocks the antigen, it is the cellular mediator of the inflammatory response called interleukin-31. Cytopoint blocks interleukin-31. If that works, then you know it's probably a seasonal environmental kind of allergy. If it doesn't work, then it probably is going to be food. It's a different pathway. So anyway, that's keep that in mind. Here we go. Does congestive heart failure always show up on chest x-rays? Charles Great beat a murmur, age 13, began coughing, is on pimobendan. Chest x-ray didn't show much besides cord. Okay, now, your very last sentence was the key right there, okay? And I'll read it in case those of you aren't seeing this. Does congestive heart failure always show up on a chest x-ray? A chihuahua with grade B2 murmur, age 13, recently began coughing, is on pimobendan. Chest x-rays don't show much besides, of course, some heart enlargement. And that's about all you're going to see, is heart enlargement. The murmur tells you there is some valve deficits. They're not closing properly. The enlarged heart can be secondary, obviously, to the heart working harder to basically pump more blood to compensate for the defective valves. Now, do we have congestive heart disease? Congestive heart failure, usually you're going to see lung damage too. You're going to see things in the lungs. You're going to see the fluidity. You're going to see a hazy bronchioles, and the lung tissue itself is going to show evidence of thickness. You'll see more definition within the chest x-rays. You're not just going to see a beautifully clear x-ray. But remember this, 13-year-old dogs are going to have some pulmonary fibrosis anyway. So it's going to be really hard to tell. So the congestive heart disease, that, and if you have a lot of fluid in the lungs, then you might be able to make a diagnosis, or at least a partial diagnosis. It's going to be on your list of differentials from congestive heart failure. But as far as the heart disease itself and whether it's functioning properly, you got to go echocardiography. Okay, you have to have an echocardiogram. It's basically an ultrasound of the heart, which can measure, first of all, follow the blood flow, measure the pressures, measure the amount of blood flowing through, going backwards. And when you have left-sided heart failure, where's the blood coming from into the left heart from the right heart? It goes through the lungs first. Then after the blood is oxygenated, it goes into the left side of the heart, and then it gets pumped out of the aorta to go through the whole body. So if there is a problem with the heart valves and you have a backup of blood coming that goes from the right heart into the lungs, then who's going to feel it? The lungs are going to feel it. And then you're going to get congestive heart failure. That's exactly what it means. It's usually a sign of left-sided failure. The question is, how bad is it? And then if you have true congestive heart disease, pimobendan is good 100% for the heart. But you need to also treat the pulmonary congestion. And that's going to, you need to talk to your veterinarian. It's going to be spironolactone. It's going to be Lasix, something that is going to help remove some of the fluid out of the heart, avoiding salt in the diet. There are a lot of things that need to be done. But the most important thing is to do what you can to increase the efficiency of the heart and the heart pumping despite the bad valves. So echocardiography is going to be your answer. Do go along with it, of course. All right, let's see. So my daughter-in-law's mom's Frenchie won Westminster Best of Breed this year. She says, now, so if you have a dog like that, that you know obviously to win Westminster, which by the way, that's fantastic, then you know you have a legitimate breeder. So whoever's breeding the dog, and if someone said, you know what, I want to get a Frenchie, that's who I would 100% recommend. Someone who has legitimate breeding practices, who's experienced, who knows what to look for in the mom and dad before they breed them, and they want to pass those good traits on, then that's okay. But backyard breeders, they don't do it. They don't know what to do, let alone do it. They have a Frenchie, have another Frenchie, they put them together. No, that's not good enough. Open a cedar, yeah, that's my answer. Open up a CD in your, or investment in your dog's names. You put the money, we talked about this, every month automatically and just let it ride. I elevated liver enzyme. 7-year-old Pitt was put on daily medication for a month, but the enzyme stayed the same. Next step, ultrasound. Okay, so also great question. So elevated liver enzymes, first of all, there are a number of enzymes. There are big four. There's AST, not that important. ALT, the most important. Okay, ALK-FOS, very important, and GGT. Now, the one that we look at the most for true liver function is the ALT. ALK-FOS tells us a lot, however. If you have dogs with vacuolar hepatopathy, high ALK-FOS. Dogs with Cushing's disease, high ALK-FOS. Dogs that are on steroids or phenobarbital, high ALK-FOS. So you need to get a good history, first of all, to know where's this coming from. Now, ultrasound, very important. So if we have a dog with high liver enzymes, then also you have to ask yourself, how are they behaving? I've had dogs with alkaline phosphatase. High normal is like 100, some tests 131. I've seen it 2,000, and the dogs are acting totally fine. So we do an ultrasound, and the liver looks pretty good. Even sometimes you would do a bleeding panel, and you take a little needle aspirates of the liver. Got to be very careful. You know what you're doing. But sometimes you'll see changes on the liver that indicate vacuolar hepatopathy. Dogs that are on steroids or phenobarbital, and they're acting totally fine. So the one where you see a sick dog and high liver enzyme is going to be ALT, alanine transferase. So when that is elevated, now we have a potential problem. We need to find out what the answer is. So sometimes we just modify diet. We can put them on adenamarin, which is a supplement, adenosil, and see if that helps the liver. If it does, that's great. And it may not. So we got to be, you know, understand. Ultimately, to really make a diagnosis, an accurate diagnosis, when it comes to liver enzymes and the dog is actually not eating, losing weight, showing evidence of being a sick dog, the answer is going to come from a biopsy. And that, again, done very carefully. We do them. There's a device called the TrueCut Biopsy Punch. You, of course, you need to check for bleeding first, make sure the dog has a good normal bleeding panel. Secondly, you have to have under ultrasound guiding, trying to, if you see an abnormality, you want to be really careful. But there are hazards, and that is you might hit something, you might hit a vessel, you're doing this blindly. So the new updated treatment or diagnostic aid of choice is laparoscopy. Doing the same thing with a laparoscope has to be done by a board-certified internist, unless your general practitioner is really good at laparoscopy, so you can see exactly where you're going to stick that biopsy punch. You're going to take a sample. You can continue to watch to make sure it doesn't bleed like crazy, and you're going to get your answer. Nowadays, with that available to me, even though I personally don't do it, I would refer that out because there's no sense from a legal aspect. Forget the dog. From legally, if you do something to cut the old-fashioned way and knock on whatever, I've never ever, and all the true cuts I've done, ever had a problem. So am I confident? I'm still confident, but knowing that you never know when that first problem you may encounter that first problem, and then you're screwed. So, and then when someone hears, if a lawyer hears that what you did that on your own blindly, and you had a board certified internist, especially in West LA, you know, not even a mile away, and you didn't refer it, then I'm in the hot seat. So that's what I'd recommend, a liver biopsy, and then go on. So it's ultrasound, look at the liver. You can do a needle aspirate. Those are pretty safe, again, under an ultrasound guide. But if you're going to do a biopsy to get your ultimate answer, you should do a laparoscopy with a board-certified specialist. All right, we're going to break right now. I'm going to look at some more questions. In the meantime, while we're having our commercial break on Pet Life Radio, and we'll be back. Tony, how you doing? Thank you so much. KB Life, I'm going to accept this request, and if it was for real, and I see it 1 year ago, probably needs another. Julianne, what were we talking about? Let me know. So let me break for 1 second. You guys stay here on Instagram. I'll let Mark do the commercials for Pet Life Radio. And so you guys don't go away, and I'll be right back with you.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's Talk Pets.
Let's Talk Pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com. Back here, we just got a good question about hemolymphopenia, which is feline parvovirus. If a group of cats in a rescue situation dies of hemolymphopenia, does that mean all the other cats have it? The answer is no. If they're all acting fine, first of all, it's a virus. So there's no test for it anyway. You can just treat them, monitor them. One thing that's going to ravage through the entire household, but of course, keep an eye on some of the other kids. Well, probably there was something going on from the immune system, some immunocompromisation in that particular cat. Okay, even from the same litter. So keep an eye on that. It was congestive heart failure, right? So again, then if it was congestive heart failure, my hunch is that there was something in the lungs that you could see. And because when they're coughing, then usually you're gonna see something in the lungs. When any coughing animal, I always take chest x-rays and you can learn a lot from chest x-rays. And then yes, if there's certain things you're looking for within the lung tissue itself and the bronchioles and the main bronchi and the alveoli, then you have, usually with congestive heart failure, you have alveolar disease. Then yes, you can make that diagnosis based on x-rays. All right, Regensa, I am still trying to get information from my friends, the internists. I don't like going to these companies that make it because look at Librela. Librela, I've spoken at length to Zoetis and they are confident that these issues are not abnormal reactions to any drug. It's like when you go, when you hear those commercials on TV, the very end of the commercial, first of all, the scenes are beautiful and these people and they're smiling. All of a sudden at the very end, and it can do this and this and this and this and even death. So does that mean are people not going to use it? Obviously, someone's using it. And, or I heard one on the radio here, I forget what the disease is, one of the gastrointestinal colitis or inflammatory bowel, and they're boasting. And 3 out of 10 even showed, you know, remission for a year, 30% in your app. That's not too good. If it was 70, 80%, now we're talking. So 30%, really? Are you going to risk getting improvement where 70% times it didn't work or it only worked short term? And who knows how what percent of people actually got really sick because of it? So, you know, they're still standing by Librela. Again, personally, I think I've had one mild reaction. Just the dog wasn't feeling well after the shot. And this was out their fourth or fifth one. So you know that it was working. If it wasn't working really well, why would they have come in for the next one and the next one and the next one? So, and then I'm not even sure. They're older dogs. Was it the fifth one or fourth one that actually made them sick? I don't know. There's no way to tell. But we're holding back for now. And then another one is convinced that it was a Librela shot that really, I don't know if the dog passed away, but it was really bad. Again, it is so hard to tell when you have these conditions that you're using the drug because of old dogs. And I'm not sure. Anyway, for Equus Lives Matter, on that Great Pyrenees, can you please send me pictures? Get an up-close picture, and I'll be happy to follow up with you. But it may be something. It may be even something on the third eyelid, but it's not quote-unquote cherry eye because that gland only is on the inside. I've never seen a prolapsed gland of the third eyelid anywhere but the medial canthus. So now my problem is much of my work, as you know, is surgery. And I'm thinking I had to get this done because the longer I wait, sooner I would probably end up developing arthritis in that joint because at the time, without those tendons and ligaments keeping that thumb in place, then I would end up getting arthritis in that joint. Then I'm really screwed. That becomes a lifelong problem. And for someone who does a lot of surgery like I do, I didn't want to run that risk of having, you know, really, really bad arthritis. Oh, good. Cable Life is unable to join. Good. I just didn't want to ignore you. All right. I hope I got to all. Thank you, Susan. Can I still work? Yes, I'm doing my best. I can do certainly minor things. So that's good. So if there are any last questions, now is the time. I'm trying to wave to everybody. Now's the time to ask them because we had a good group today. Have I worked on primates dealing with an anxiety issue in a lemur? I have not. Interestingly, at UC Davis, they have the Primate Center, which is very popular. So I personally have not worked. It wasn't really part of our normal training unless you were going the exotic animal or zoo animal tract. And I went small animal knowing that, yeah. So block tear duct of a cat. So now the great question's coming. Roland, hold on, see what's speed recovery. What are thoughts on CBD oil or treats to calm it down? Absolutely worth trying. I like CBD. I also have my own product, as you know, called Chill, which is, you know, all the natural remedies that are advertised: L-tryptophan, melatonin, valerian root, passion flower, chamomile. So again, some dogs do well and some don't. Would I promise, guarantee that CBD is going to work? Absolutely not. But I will tell you that if you want to avoid the drugs to start, I would certainly put that on my list of things to try before going to the heavy duty stuff. And so try it. You'll be amazed. I'm looking for Roland's. My pup pooped all over the car, and that night he even had a little blood in his stool, but now it seems fine. The stool is fine. The energy is fine. Is there anything that causes me? No cause of concern. So first of all, when we see soft stool, anywhere from mushy cow patty-like to flat-out diarrhea, especially with mucus and blood, and the dog otherwise acting normally, still eating, etc., it is colitis. I wouldn't say 100%. I'm never supposed to. I'll say 99% colitis. Now, why do dogs get colitis? Well, let's put the list. It's a pretty long list. Nerves, stress, anxiety, excitement, diet change, eating something he or she shouldn't have. Then, of course, in a puppy, parasites. Now, you have a pup going into a car. I don't know how many times you take him in the car, but now let's talk about nerves, stress, anxiety, excitement. And they're going to let loose and have this irritated bowel. It's going to cause diarrhea. It's going to have a little mucus on it. They're going to have maybe a little blood. It's a normal reaction. I wouldn't say it's normal, but it's a normal reaction. And that's exactly what happens under those conditions. So what I recommend simply is to start, add a little fiber to the diet, maybe decrease the amount of food just a little. What kind of fiber? Well, the hot fiber now that's being recommended by the internists, the GI docs, is psyllium powder. It's pretty concentrated, a very small amount. So if it's a pup, maybe an eighth of a teaspoon mixed in with the food. And I tell people, add fiber to the diet. Bran, cooked oatmeal, canned pumpkin, sweet potato, cooked potato, or psyllium. All of a sudden, they tell me that the dog still has diarrhea. Well, how much did you use? They go, I was feeding him pumpkin. No, you added a small amount to their regular diet. Nope, give them straight pumpkin out of the can. Of course, they're going to have diarrhea. It's all about volume. For most dogs, maybe a half a teaspoon to a teaspoon. If it's a huge dog, it might be a tablespoon, but not plain mixed in with their regular food. With psyllium, which is more concentrated, you're going from a small amount, an eighth of a teaspoon, to a quarter to maybe a half a teaspoon in a big dog. Again, you mix it in with the food. And if that doesn't work, plus it's a pup. By now, I would imagine this puppy already had a fecal sample run. If it was negative, so you can eliminate that, Giardia or something. If it was positive, obviously you need to treat the parasites. If it wasn't done, then bring a stool sample to your veterinarian and have them evaluate the stool to see if there were any parasites or Giardia. And then beyond that, the next step, if the dietary modification and adding of the fiber alone doesn't work, then see your vet. I would start something called Flagyl and metronidazole, and it seems to be very, very helpful in cases of colitis. All right. What's the best tool to clip nails? The nail file or the clippers? Well, I would say the best thing, it depends on the animal. We use nail clippers, and then we use the Dremel to just round out the edges. There are Dremels out there that are silent. You don't hear it. The pet doesn't really feel it unless you get too much. You don't want it to quick. Now, if you don't know what you're doing or the nails are black, you're better off taking a little less, because if you take more and you hit that quick, and first of all, what do you have in that quick? You have the nerve and you have the blood supply. If you want to develop a pet that is going to go nuts next time you approach them to clip nails, clip their nails a little too short a few times or even once, and you've lost it. So you're better off, less is more. Don't do it if you're not sure. Now, clear nails where you can actually see what you're doing, then it's a little easy to avoid the quick, because you can see the pink part through the sort of clear nail. Now, if you have dogs and many and cats, some of are clear and some of the nails are black pigmented, then look how much you took away from the clear ones, and you can do that same amount from the black ones, and you should be okay. Now, if they're really not that long, you just want to take the sharpness away, use a Dremel. The Dremel is great. Filing with a nail file, you could do it, but it's the back and forth too much. I think the pet's going to object. But if you do a Dremel where you can just keep it in one spot and the Dremel is doing the thing going round and round, is doing the filing, then they do really well with that. So my recommendation. So that's where it starts. Okay, primates, Hardwick, hippos. Steve, I wish you got all that. And Motu, Kev, what happened to my arm again? I hyperextended, took a fall playing basketball, with youngsters, had nothing to do with that. It was just two of us running for the same ball. Our legs got entangled and I went flying. And the way I landed, I don't know exactly. All I know, my hand was stuck under me, and which is a good thing I broke the fall, because even with that, I still hit my chin on the hardwood pretty hard. Fortunately, nothing happened to that. I maybe rattled my brain a little bit. Maybe that's why I sound the way I do, but whatever. So I had to get surgery to reattach. It's called the volar plate. And now I'm stuck in this thing. Well, this thing for 10 days, stitches out after 10, and then he puts on a hard cast for another 2 or 3 weeks. So I'm not, so when he's 3 years old and in the car off and probably ate something, yeah, something could be that. That is simple. And it just was coincidental. All right, Lauren, Danielle. All right, good. I overstayed my welcome, as is normally the case. Of course, I'm available anytime. For those of you who are going to this Thursday, have an easy fast. And I will be back next Sunday, same bat time, same bat channel, here on Instagram Live, here on Pet Life Radio. And here on Pet Life Radio, if you have questions during the week, email Dr. Jeff, drjeff at petliferadio.com, and I will get those. And on for Instagram, any place else, where you just add it on Instagram, or drjeff at drjeff.com, drjeff at drjeff.com. For those of you using AirVet, you can reach me at jeff at airvet.com. So anyway, let's put it this way. I'm hard not to get a hold of, and most of you probably have my cell phone number anyway. So if you have to call me, feel free or send me a text. All right. Anyway, have a wonderful week, and we'll be here next week. And again, Happy New Year to those who celebrate. And I said, have an easy fast on Thursday. Bye-bye.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.